consider yourself a home dreamer? One who watches the renovation programs on television? Are you just waiting for the right time to build or renovate your dream home? Welcome to Winning the Dream Home Race with Steve Clipp Architect. Steve has spent 3 decades learning how to win at the dream home game. He has insights into the psychology of space that could strengthen your marriage and soothe your soul. He has an understanding of market forces and the methodologies of construction that could save you thousands of dollars, and he could make you a winner. Now, here's Steve Clipp.
Welcome back. I just left an incredible party. It was a man who has a real passion for Porsches and the money to indulge it. And he had just some incredible machines, really beautiful. One was the 17th first Porsche ever built. Back in, I think it was 19, I don't remember when, 1948, maybe. Anyway, his passion is cars and mine is houses. And have to admit that I've overspent on houses, and I think I've made money on them if I ever sold, but just enjoyed it. Looking at that, talking about houses, and most people live in what I call production houses, and they are mass-produced. They look alike. When you go to even build a custom home, you go to the plan books and look at plans, all of those plans are meant to appeal to the middle of the market and really to be mass-produced. In fact, a lot of them in parts of California and any big city, you've got these 60-foot wide lots, and a lot of these plans are built to be squeezed onto those lots. A lot of the houses are, you know, essentially mass-produced items, as I said, to appeal to the middle of the market. They're fast and cheap to build. And from a builder's standpoint, that's really, they optimize efficiency by building the same house they built last time and looking at each item in there and figuring out what is the lowest dollar that you can get that item built for. What that does in part is it clears up space under the sales dollar for profit. Amazing fact, on a spec home, the materials and labor to build the house are about 45% of the total selling cost. The rest is land and sales commissions and profits and the return on the risk of building the spec. 45%. When you build a custom home, the materials and labor to build the house are between 60 and 65% of the total cost. Of course, there's land in there, which is about 25% if you have the right balance. And the rest is the contractor's overhead and profit, what they make on the construction. So it's really interesting when you get even into the high end of the market and typically above $600,000 or $800,000, you see the same thing. You see houses that all look alike and pretty much all are aimed at the middle of the market, 5,000 square feet with 5 bedrooms and 5 baths, and all with the bonus room, all with, you know, the same list of amenities. So what happens when you go shopping for an $800,000 house? And I use $800,000 because that's really a high-end normal house in my area of the country. It may be higher or lower. I imagine around San Francisco, it may be a whole lot higher. But it will buy you typically 45,000 square feet with all the bells and whistles. So you go shopping for $800,000 houses. And it really seems like they're just five models. You know, you look and they all look like this one or this one or this one or this one. And they're all built to the middle of the market. In fact, one of the key things for the spec builder is what he just built. And if he built it and it's sold, well, the smartest thing for him to do is to build it again because it worked one time. Now, when you want a custom home, when you're going out there and building your dream home, you want it built for you. You don't want it built the same as what it was before. So I'm ranting here a bit, but a whole lot of people, they go to build their own custom home, their dream home. And they go to a builder. They see a builder they like, and they like his work. Seems like a good guy. What does he do? Well, the first thing the builder would do is try to steer you to build the model that he just built. The argument is, hey, you like me because you like this house. I can build that same house for you, only better because it's custom and on your lot. Well, the question for you is, do you want his signature house or do you want your house? Now, he looks at it. If he's built the most comfortable house for a builder is the one he just built or the one he's built before. He looks at it. He knows how to build it. He knows what the problems are. And for him, that's, you know, he knows how to build it. So he knows how much money he'll make on it. It's very safe, very comfortable. You don't need to make your builder comfortable. Here's the thing. When you go to sell that house, you agree with the builder, you love this house, build me one just like it, only better. Now you're going to sell his house, that house. Well, you look around, or a prospective buyer comes in and looks at your house, and he likes it. But he looks around, and there are eight houses just like it on the market. Each is a little different. The lots are a little different. But pretty much, they're very close to each other. And especially if you've got a good builder who's built a lot in the area, chances are there's three or four of them that are your house. So now what happens? Your house is a commodity. They look at it as a commodity. You don't compete on it being special. You don't compete on it being something unique that the buyer has to have. No, you compete on price and you compete on condition, which from a seller's point of view is the last thing you want to do. Okay. Well, I'm trying to decide whether to do a little story here. I think I will. In my neighborhood, I live on a golf course, and around the corner from me, there was an old house for sale on a really great golf course lot. Someone goes, loves the lot, buys it, tears the house down. So they paid a whole lot of money for this lot. Then they build, then they have a builder they really like, and they build his home. You know, it's, they build the house this builder has built before, and of course the builder pushes them that way. You know, he knows he'll make money on that house. They build it. Now, and it is, in effect, a McMansion. On a beautiful golf course lot. Now, two things happen. One is, that house wasn't custom designed for that lot. So, the lot has beautiful views, but the house only somewhat takes advantage of them. Because it's a standard plan. Here's the other thing that happens. Now, sometime later, the owner of that house goes to sell. He spent a lot of money on this. He paid a premium of, oh, probably $500,000 for the lot. Because he paid so much for the lot, he also put a lot of extra touches into the house. Now he goes to sell, and his house looks exactly the same, or looks to the buyer exactly the same as 10 other houses that are on the market. They're on the market in the $700,000 to $900,000 range. They're not on the same lot, but they look the same as his house, and they're $600,000, $700,000 less. It's going to be very hard to get his price and get back what he put into it. In effect, as an investment, this guy lost a couple hundred thousand dollars when he decided to build the builder's house. Why? It's not special. If you think about it, the best house to live in is the one that's yours alone, that's your dream. And not the middle of the market, but yours. And when you go to sell, the best house to sell is the house that's unique. Now, there's a caveat to that, though. It can be unique, but it has to be good unique. If you've got that weird house, yeah, you can really lose money. But if you just have a unique house that is very appealing, it will sell for a premium. And it won't compete as a commodity. It will compete as an art object, a thing on into itself. So, now I've ranted off onto a side subject. When I get back, we'll talk about your house. And, you know, if you came to me to design your dream house, what would it be?
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Come back to your senses. Imagine a radio show that will help you recover your common sense. Host Leah Brenda Smith is a health and wellness specialist who will explain techniques designed to help you recover from the stress of your life. It's all about how you respond to your thoughts. A little bit of self-awareness can go a long way in helping you to relax and enjoy your life. Tune in to Come Back to Your Senses Radio, live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Want to hear about what's going on in the world of fashion, beauty, gossip, and politics? Then you'll want to tune in every Wednesday to the Voice America Variety Channel. Face Forward with entrepreneur and beauty consultant Sarah McNamara is honest talk, great guests, and a cool vibe with a lot of fun. Sarah and her guy Friday, Anthony, will turn you on to what's hot and what's not. This is a radio show custom made for you. Tune in to Face Forward, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. in the East, 11 a.m. in the West on Voice America Variety.
Are you ready to change your relationships, your business, your body, and your life? You'll want to tune in to Transformation Talk Radio with host Tony Litster. It's an inspiring hour of conversation, special guests, and wisdom that has made Tony an expert with personal life experience. His down-to-earth style will give you the keys to unlock your greatest potential. Listen for Transformation Talk Radio live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Listening can truly change your life.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Okay. Now, to get you close to the subject I'm supposed to be talking about. If you came to me to design your dream home, first of all, it's your dream, not mine, in your style. A lot of architects like to design in their style and, in essence, do what they're comfortable with. But I love what I do, and I love a challenge. It's actually why I do this is because it's a challenge and fun. It's a whole lot more challenging, though, if it's outside of my comfort zone. If you challenge me to, you know, come up with your dream and to do a great job on your house. Okay, first, names are just names. You know, one person's French country house is very different from somebody else's French country house. It can be French country from the Normandy region, or it can be from Provence. And those are two different things, and they mean two different things. Further, what is a contemporary? And how is that different from a modern home? So there's this thing called mid-century modern, which is coming back into vogue. You know, how is a Victorian different from a Queen Anne? Well, the point of that is that you can call it anything you like. And my job is to figure out what you mean by those words. And how do you let the architect, okay, forget me, any architect, how do you let us in on your dream? The old saying is, a picture is worth 1,000 words. And it's absolutely accurate here. As I said, you can call it by any name you want. But you start showing me pictures, and I start to understand what you're saying. It's truly the easiest way to convey your thoughts. I've had people bring me one picture and say, this is my dream home. And I've had them bring me 100 or 1,000. Had one lady come in with 3 2-inch-thick notebooks that she'd been saving for years. And like I say, I had someone come in and just have a picture that they've been saving for years. What we do is we sit down and we talk. I look at the pictures and we talk and I listen very hard. This is really what the architect needs to do at that point, is to really listen to what you're saying. And he's listening for clues. You know, it's not, oh, I want a French country. It's, I really love the way the stucco works on this house. And I really love the way these different parts of this house come together and the picture that it makes. So I'm listening very hard. And sometimes you can have, you know, your pictures can be very different. You can show me a contemporary home and you can show me a Victorian. But my job is to figure out what are the similarities, what are the things in there. You know, why does that Victorian speak to you? Why does that contemporary home speak to you? Okay, the things not to do or of least value, and this is what kind of everyone does, is pictures and plans of spec houses. In whatever the style of house, a spec house out of a plan book is probably the most mundane that you can get within that style. First, it's meant to appeal to everybody, which means it's really not special and it's really not strongly appealing to anyone. And second, spec houses and the plan books are typically done by residential designers, by people who have only a limited education and training in the artistic aspects, in, you know, rhythm, order, symmetry, balance, you know, the elements of design. So, but thinking about your house, you're told these are the choices. They're not the choices. They are the fallback. And as I've said, quite frankly, the builders would love to build them because they're comfortable for them. Okay. What happens if you have no pictures? I've had people come to me with no pictures and make the statement, we don't know what we want. Well, sometimes, you know, sometimes they come to me because they've made the money. They feel it's time to have their own special dream house, but they're just too busy making the money to, you know, to figure out what that means. And sometimes they're just not sure of their own taste. And a lot of times people hire interior designers because they're not sure of their own taste. And they think this person knows their taste better than they do. I believe that the person who really knows their taste is you. And my job is to help you find out what you want. So what do we do? You know, you've no pictures, don't know what you want. Well, we drive around. And we just hop in the car and start driving. And we'll go to neighborhoods that are in the same price range that you're talking about. And we'll talk about the houses. We'll drive by and maybe you'll see a house. Oh, I like that. Okay. What is it you like about it? I don't know. It just feels comfortable. Then we'll be driving a little more and you'll look at another house and you'll say, oh, I don't like that. Well, a lot of times there's big differences. We'll drive by a house that looks very much like the first one that you liked. And I say, well, how about this one? It's, you know, it's kind of like the one that you said you liked back there. And I'll look at it and say, yeah, I do or I don't. The colors are all wrong. Something doesn't appeal to me as much. All of this is just talking, but the architect is listening. And, you know, these cogs are going around in his head. And he's getting a picture of who you are and what you want. So even if you don't do any homework, you know, we can figure out how to get you your dream home. Typically, you know, typically, okay, you hop in the car and we drive around. You can't do it for more than 2 hours. After about 2 hours, my brain is fried. And, you know, I'm just mumbling nonsense. But we do it, and it takes about two sessions. Either two sessions with the pictures you brought, or the pictures I steer you to. Let's say you didn't bring any pictures. Then we'll drive around, we'll look at houses, and I'll steer you towards some magazines and some books that seem to be in the same genre as what appealed to you. And then we'll sit down, we'll have a second meeting, and now we'll look at pictures. And I'll go back and I'll challenge you, you know, and I'll just kind of push you this way and that way. All of us tell me what you want and what your dream is. Years ago, I was doing mostly retail store design and did some hospitals and offices. But when the house got in trouble, the builders who I knew would say, oh, you know, boy, this is a real mess. Go talk to Steve. And maybe he can figure it out and, you know, and get this straightened out and get us back on track. So they'd come in, the owners would come in and talk to me. Usually what messed up was money. You went to, you know, you've got $700,000 to build a house, and this house that you had designed and you want to build is $1 million. That's not listening. If the designer of the house, if the architect is really listening and he knows what he's doing, then if you said you wanted a $700,000 house, he should deliver a $700,000 house. Well, the other thing I found, and it was really strange, was the number of times I'd be talking to these people, and often it was about the money, but I'd be talking to them, and the house they were describing and that they were trying to achieve wasn't the house that they had drawn. For instance, in one case, the house they had drawn was a French, but it was a very formal kind of urban French. And what they were talking about was a very relaxed French country. So there are times when things will get away from you. And when it's not your dream that gets built, but it's something that somebody misheard. So it's really important to push the architect to listen to you and to do your dream. When I come back, I'll tell you a story of a real challenge that was thrown my way. And frankly, a whole lot of fun. One of the neat things about what I do is this is a whole lot of fun, and most of the people I work with become lifelong friends because we enjoy the great adventure together.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling to find hope in the middle of adversity? How confident are you in dealing with your life challenges? Do you realize you have the ability to overcome your obstacles?
You'll want to tune in to Louise Cohen's Changing Obstacles into New Possibilities. Louise will speak to inspiring guests who have helped others or managed to overcome the roadblocks that stood in the way of their life success. Louise Cohen's Changing Obstacles into New Possibilities broadcasts live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Tune in for encouraging and motivational stories every week on Minding Your Business, Living Life Beyond Invisible Barriers. Your host, Dr. David A. Blender, brings together guests from all walks of life who not only have found personal and professional success, but who are committed to help you achieve success. Each week, and with each story, we strive to change the world a little bit at a time. Minding Your Business, Living Life Beyond Invisible Barriers is broadcast live every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Variety. Tune in to The Hoffman Connection for inspiration, a life of passion and purpose. Hosts Raz Ingrassi and Ed McClune will bring you ways to remove the blocks in your life that are holding you back. Along with their guest experts, Raz and Ed will use their experience and expertise to help you learn to get closer to what matters to you most. And by doing so, improve your life and the lives of others. The Hoffman Connection can be heard live every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's CLIPPARCH at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Hi. I've told you I love a challenge, that I love being pushed out of my comfort zone and kicking and screaming into where it's really tough and where I can really be happy when I figure out the solution. A couple of years ago, I had a very young couple come to me, and they brought with them the Bed and Breakfast Book of England, opened it up, and showed me one picture. No, it wasn't one of these seaside, you know, gracious, sprawling homes with the big porches. This was a forbidding house sitting on the edge of the moors. And very unusual choice, but it really had appealed to them. And in talking to them and drawing them out, in essence, what they wanted was the house from Wuthering Heights. And if you, soon after I talked to them, I saw the movie Wuthering Heights, the movie version. I remembered reading it years ago. And this is really what they wanted. Now, here's the kicker. As they came to me and said, "We want a house like this, and we're going to be married in 9 months. We want to have our wedding in the house." So not only am I, typically it takes 12 months to build a custom home. Typically it takes generally 6 months to design one. So here we were talking about doing what normally is done in 18 months and having it ready for a wedding in 9. Well, it turns out that they they didn't actually have the wedding in the house. They had the wedding in a 200-year-old church just down the road. And then they had a beautiful white carriage with four white horses carry them from the church to their new home. And the reception was in their new home. So, pretty neat. Okay, the house from Wuthering Heights. You know, you look at it, a house on the Moor region of England, and they are tall and stark, and they stand out against the landscape. In concept, that house is a fortress against an unfriendly world, and it's meant to stand up and dominate the area around it, not to fit in gently or be nice. So that's what they wanted. And, you know, my job, they picked a good site for it. This was 10 acres out in the country and really the top of a rise. So I could build a tall, dominating house. At the same time, I'm interpreting their dream and really getting into what are the elements that make that house special. So just tall and dominating, kind of forbidding, like come up to me if you dare. The front door isn't a big thing. The front door is small and understated. And, you know, it's meant to put any visitor in their place, and especially to discourage, well, two people. One are robbers, and the other are tax collectors. So, okay, you walk into this little understated front door in this forbidding front wall of the house, and into a small, low foyer that's actually tucked under, if you think of a grand staircase with a big landing, well, this foyer is actually tucked underneath that landing. And it's meant to have a low ceiling and to give you a real sense of how small you are. Then, from there, you step up a couple of steps into a great room. And the great room is a big room with 12-foot ceiling. So you go from a little space with an 8-foot ceiling through this big arch and up into a room that just looks enormous. Really, the effect I wanted was that you were coming into a castle, and now you're into the Great Hall. Had a big stone fireplace dominating the room, and the whole back wall was glass. A wall of windows. I really like doing contrast. You've got this forbidding closed front. You're allowed in through the gate, and you step up and into this castle, great room, that's just wide open to the outdoors. You know, it's really neat. Anyway, this house, for a number of reasons, it was just chock full of really neat ideas for better living. And when we come back, running out of time, when we come back, I'll tell you some really neat ideas that were in this house, some of which I'm sure you could use in yours. Thank you.
Hey. Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
We hear it and read about it every day in the news.
Stock prices plunging, home prices receding, and unemployment growing.
How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth. Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Tune into a program that's all about empowerment and human potential. It's all about navigating your life. In fact, that is the name of the program. Tune in every Monday morning for the Navigating Your Life Show with host Dr. Nathaniel J. Williams. Each week we'll discuss a range of topics to help you with the challenges facing us every day. The information given can be implemented immediately and may change your life forever. The Navigating Your Life Show is broadcast live Mondays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time and 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Voice America Variety Channel presents a program like no other for those in the field and interested in the field of security and training. On America's front lines of crime and war with Victory Defense Consulting, hosted by J.J. Sutton. Here, listeners are learning about tactical skills and practices that support efficient, smarter, and more enduring skills. You will receive the most up-to-date information about the security and training industry with detailed discussions and select special guests each week. Tune in to On America's Front Lines of Crime and War, Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Ideas, ideas. Let's go back to this. The house from Wuthering Heights. So you walk up into this great big great room with the wall windows out to the backyard. Behind you, but fully open to the great room, is the kitchen. And I talked about in my first show, Romancing the Home, about the idea of combining the kitchen and the main sitting area into one. And how this helps bring families together and builds relationships. Well, even in this house, I'm trying to bring newlyweds together and build a relationship. So the kitchen is on the front of the house, and with it has big island with stools that look out over this great room. I really believe in having kitchens on the front of houses. When you drive through most neighborhoods, and especially the new and upper end neighborhoods, the streets are dead. The typical spec house in an upper end neighborhood has the front of the house is the garage, the living room, the foyer, and the dining room. So there is no living that occurs on the front of a house in these neighborhoods. And because of that, there's no neighborhood. Everyone goes in their garage, walks to the back of their house, and lives their solitary life in the back of their house. I believe that we should have kitchen kitchen should be on the front of houses, and they should have windows that look out to the street. In fact, I did a neighborhood where we required that just because we wanted to build a sense of neighborhood. What's neat about it is that the one place where you spend time every day is in the kitchen, a couple of hours, and especially at the kitchen sink. The kitchen sink should always be in front of a window or on the island looking into the main sitting area. So when the kitchen sink is in front of a window, that means you spend a couple of hours a day looking out on your world. We see each other. We see our neighbors. We see who's out playing or who's out working in the yard, and we know them. For a lot of people, they don't even know their neighbors. They don't talk to them, and they don't see them. But if the kitchen window's on the front of the house, you will see them, and you can't identify them. And you can see when they leave for work. You can see when they come home. If nothing else, it's a great security tool. If people are looking out on the street, people know when somebody strange is in the neighborhood, and people know when there's a potential for danger. Anyway, or, you know, you can look out and you can see that guy coming to pick up your daughter for a date. Anyhow, the kitchen window is perfect for this. Why? The kitchen window, because it's above the sink, is small. Well, nowadays, I'm actually putting in two or three windows and making it bigger, but it still has to be, you know, above the sink before it can start. What it means is that it's a small window looking out. People on the street can't really look in and see what's happening inside. And it's a big window when you're standing 2 feet in front of it, and you can see everything that happens in front of you. So anyway, the kitchen window is perfect in front, and this house had it, as well as opening up then to the main sitting area and one big, glorious living space to bring people together. Okay, an interesting thing about this house, too, was, well, first, I also really believe as the kitchen, as the command center of a house. It is where you do spend time on a, you know, couple of hours a day. And if you think of a house conceptually, it should be the hub that everything radiates from. Great way to arrange a house. In this case, the future wife did not want a TV in the great room. And so, to satisfy the future husband, we then had to build a little room off to the side of the kitchen. This room was deliberately diminutive. It was about 12 by 14 with a low ceiling and with French doors that cut it off from the kitchen. So you could see in, but you could cut off the noise if you wanted to. That's a very good technique to, if you build a big space, contrast it with the small one. The big space is more appreciated in contrast, and the little space is more appreciated in contrast. If all of the spaces in your house are big, they're so what? And it's hard to get warm and cozy. If all the spaces in your house are small, then you can't soar, and you feel hemmed in by the space. So contrast is great. Okay. First, understand that I'm not talking about a big house here. This house was actually under 3,000 square feet, even though it had a huge great room. So it's under 3,000 square feet, huge great room. And the other neat thing about it was being built. The budget was on the low end for a custom home. This was not an expensive place. A whole lot of the ideas I talk about, a whole lot of the ways to make your home more friendly, more open, more joyful, don't cost money. What they do is it costs thought. And with the first thought being throw out those standard plans. So, this is a house. I'm really setting up the theme of this forbidding kind of old world house, you know, on the edge of the moors. And in keeping with the theme of an old rambling house, I made the stairs an adventure. How do you make an adventure out of the stairs? Well, instead of doing one flight up to the second floor, I broke it up into three shorter flights with two landings. The first landing, you went up, 6 feet or so, to a landing that had this beautiful kind of slightly curved balcony, a Juliet balcony. And you can just imagine, I love creating stories, and you can imagine Juliet standing up there, what light from yonder window breaks. So that was the first landing. Then you went up a little bit more to a second landing. And this was a nook. It had kind of a bay window effect looking out to the front. And with a seat, a window seat. You can imagine just sitting up there in this very cozy place tucked under the roof, looking out. And again, the idea of the girl looking out to see her date pick her up. So make an adventure out of the stairs. Then further, every time you put a room on its own special level, you make it more special. I can remember when I was another house I was designing, one of the girls' rooms, just because I wanted a 12-foot ceiling in the dining room, her room above the dining room had to be up a couple of steps. Well, this 10-year-old girl wrote me a note and was so thrilled. She felt so special having her own level in the house. In this Wuthering Heights house, I did the same thing with the master bedroom. I talked during, again, romancing the home, about how you make the master bedroom a special place. And that's what I did on this house. It wasn't huge. The bedroom area was only about 14 by 14. Just big enough to comfortably fit a king size bed and a little diminutive fireplace. I did all sorts of tricks to make this room more special. The walls of the room went up 6 feet tall. And at that time, we were under the roof of the house. And I had these really neat angled ceilings that went up to 12 feet. So just as I talked about, the idea of making it both really cozy, because you see these 6 foot walls and how cozy that makes it, and really airy, with the 12-foot ceiling. On one gable, there was one built one gable out to the back that framed a triple window. So even in this room that was cozy, I had a great big triple window looking out to the back, tucked inside the gable. Again, you know, just all kinds of neat effects. Now, the thing about this house is that I told you it was on 10 acres. Well, the other point to this couple is that they raised and trained horses. This was their hobby. So the back of the house looked out on the backyard where the hopeful future kids would play. The side of the house looked down on the pastures and training fields for the horses. And it was really neat, the whole effect of the tall, forbidding house on the top of the hill. That side dropped off three stories or more down to the horse pastures. So at the side of this bedroom, I dropped the floor three steps. So you came into the master bedroom, and then you stepped down three steps to the side. And here was a French door, you know, glass doors, and a small balcony, just big enough for two people to sit on in the morning and look out over their horses. Came down three steps, and I built a half wall between the bedroom and this little nook area, and put a whirlpool tub for two. Now you've got this little nook area hidden away with the whirlpool tub for two to sit there with French doors looking out over their horse pastures. And just push it even further, the fireplace in the room. In the bedroom, it was sitting right down on the floor, and it's a two-sided fireplace. Whoops, ran out of time. And, well, good talking to you. Next week, we're going to talk about the 10 things you have to think about before you do a renovation. A very important subject, and it can save you and make you a lot of money. Thank you, and I'll see you next week.
Again for listening to Winning the Dream Home Race. Please join your host, Steve Klipp, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll help you come one step closer to building or renovating your dream home.